org and clicking the word donate, or text donate to 218-326-1234.
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
After releasing her last album, Mercy, in 2021, which saw her dealing with the grief of suddenly losing her father, Natalie Bergman wasn't sure how to keep writing. It took some big life changes to help her come back.
I met my husband and I had a child, and I think the birth of my child was really what prompted me to start writing again.
Coming up, Natalie talks about her new album, My Home Is Not in This World, and the way motherhood has shifted her perspective.
Everything is kind of playful. I look at birds in a new way. I look at trees in a new way. I feel like I'm looking at things for the first time.
She also talks about the inspiration she takes from her faith.
It's unwavering, so it's there, you know, whether I'm writing music or I'm taking a walk or I'm singing a song, it's there no matter what.
Natalie Bergman, today. I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. The data center construction boom remains on Minnesota's radar with new environmental protections in place, but two cities face lawsuits with claims they are falling short in getting a read on how much future projects would drain natural resources. The Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy this week took legal action against the cities of Lakeville and North Mankato, arguing local leaders did not follow state law under the environmental review process when advancing projects. Evan Mulholland, staff attorney at the center, says the evaluations left a lot to be desired.
We don't know how much water they're going to use. For energy, we don't know where the energy is going to come from. We don't know whether they're going to have contracts for clean energy, for carbon-free energy or not. All of these things are just missing.
He pointed out the public is also left in the dark about potential noise when equipment is running to store digital data and keep computing machines cool. This spring, state lawmakers extended tax breaks to lure more centers, along with tougher environmental regulations. Advocates said the safeguards are a good step, but not enough. When reached for comment, North Mankato officials say they led an open review process. Data centers are known for massive water consumption and pushing energy demand higher. In some cases, developers request to implement backup diesel generators, potentially adding to their carbon footprint. Mulholland stressed they are not against such facilities, recognizing the need to accommodate digital use in everyday life. He emphasized they are seeking transparency when measuring the environmental impact.
Some of these cities have signed non-disclosure agreements with the developer, and it's becoming an obstacle for the public to understand what it is being proposed to be built.
North Mankato officials said they were looking at different types of development, prompting a broad review without specific details. But the lawsuit contended city staff used the term data center in emails when discussing the matter. The plaintiffs are requesting a stop to project activity, including permitting, until a more detailed environmental assessment is done. It's a burden many Minnesota parents can relate to, struggling to afford childcare or finding an open slot. Now, a decades-old idea to create equal access around the country is getting another look. The U.S. childcare system is often described as broken, with states and local governments pursuing a patchwork of solutions, along with limited federal subsidies for low-income households. The nonprofit think tank, the Roosevelt Institute, led a new report calling for a, quote, public option approach with stronger federal investments to close gaps. Lena Billick, a program manager for the Institute, said despite the urgency, attempts to solve this crisis for working parents have been uneven at best.
We keep tinkering around the edges, but, you know, what we really need is for childcare to be a public good.
The author suggested, like public schools, there should be a universal network of care sites to guarantee free slots without means testing. Instead of subsidies and tax credits, they called for a big boost in federal aid for providers so they can expand and hire staff and keep costs down. The policy push traces back to the 1970s, but has faced political resistance along the way. On average, childcare costs account for nearly 19% of a Minnesota family's income. While this idea still has opponents, elected leaders from all parties have filed bipartisan bills in response to the child care shortage. The Economic Security Project is a partner in the report. Taylor Jo Eisenberg, executive director of the nonprofit Economic Security Project, is among those who see it as an infrastructure investment to help the economy by keeping parents in the workforce.
And so I think understanding these as tools, not just to meet the needs of families right now, but as a kind of foundation of a healthy, dynamic economy and country is a really important part of the story.
Some of the national pushback against a universal system suggested it would erode the quality of care. Billick countered one of their recommendations strongly advises against provisions like deregulation.
A trend around the country is sort of changing adult-to-child ratio rules to deal with the shortage of staff. Now, that might sound okay, but then you picture a room, we're talking literal babies or infants that need care, and you need a lot of adults for that.
Thanks to Minnesota News Connection for these stories. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Natalie Bergman needed a new beginning. Her 2021 album, Mercy, was a deeply emotional record that dealt with the sudden and tragic loss of her father. It was an album that dealt with a profound ending, and she didn't know how to keep writing once it was released. Eventually, though, things started to begin again with a new relationship and then with the birth of her son last year. And those new beginnings gave Natalie the inspiration she needed to write her second solo album, My Home Is Not in This World. Coming up, we'll talk about the new album recorded analog to tape and produced by her brother and longtime collaborator and Wild Bell bandmate, Elliot Bergman. Natalie also performs live, beginning with this one from My Home Is Not in This World. This is Natalie Bergman, Lonely Road, live for World Cafe.
Performing live for the World Cafe, that was Natalie Bergman with Lonely Road. It's a song from her new album, My Home Is Not in This World. I'm Raina Duris. Natalie Bergman, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me, Raina.
Really happy to have you. Especially because I know that there was a time after your last album, Mercy, in 2021, when you weren't sure if you were going to write again. Could you tell us what was going on?
Well, after the release of Mercy, we did a lot of touring. We did some extensive touring on that record. And those songs are so emotional because they have so much to do with loss and losing my father. And so it was kind of an exhausting tour because it's just so emotional to sing those songs night after night. And so I thought that I would take a little bit of a break because I didn't really have, I didn't have anything else to write about. You know, I put this body of work together. It was so spiritual and so personal. And so I thought that naturally, you know, you kind of need to rest after putting out a body of work like that. And I took a few years and I met my husband and I had a child. And I think the birth of my child was really what prompted me to start writing again.
Yeah, I know the first song that you wrote for the album is Song for Arthur. I'm going to play a little clip of it. You wrote it for your son. Let's hear that.
Do you give me a reason? Yes, you give me a reason to wake up and sing. I thank you for giving me sweet love again to wake up and sing. I thank you for giving me sweet love again, sweet love.
So that's a bit of Song for Arthur from Natalie Bergman. You had your son between the last album and this one, so how has that changed you creatively?
Having a child is such a gift. I think that it really changes your perspective on the world because, as cliche as this may sound, you actually start to witness things through the eyes of a child. And I feel like I've sort of taken on a more youthful approach to seeing things.
And, how so? And,
I mean, everything is kind of playful. I look at birds in a new way. I look at trees in a new way. I feel like I'm looking at things for the first time a little bit, just because the awe of a child is so inspiring. And he loves everything. He thinks a leaf is the most miraculous thing. And when you look at it, it really is, you know? I think kids can kind of help you slow down a little bit, take a break from whatever chaos you have going on in your life. But he also just inspired me to write music again because he loves music, and every time I sing, it brings him so much joy. And so I thought, I'm going to write an album, and I hope he likes it.
Does he like it? Has he given his review?
He does. His review is very obvious. It's like he just starts dancing. I put out a few singles, Dance and Gunslinger, and I was doing some music videos for those, and I came up with a line dance. So I was doing the line dance and rehearsing in front of the mirror. And so he knows the whole line dance at this point.
That's so cute. Because he's, what, around 2 years old?
Yeah.
That might be the cutest image ever painted on World Cafe. I'm speaking with Natalie Bergman today on World Cafe. You mentioned seeing things in a new way, looking at birds in a different way, looking at trees in a different way. And those things come up in the title track. Mm. I want to talk about that track before we hear you play it live. The line, "My home is not in this world," sounds like it could be kind of, it's like a sad or a lonely lyric, but musically this song feels bright and it feels light. What does that phrase mean to you? Mm.
Well, the title of the album is, you know, it's kind of, I hope it can strike a conversation like this one, because I think that there, it does allude to a sort of lonely world, you know, feeling like you don't belong. And there is a sense of that on the songs and the music. You know, I think every artist kind of is confronted by the fact that they might not feel like they have a place here in this life. And I think that's why musicians form bands, you know, like we got to find our family. And so we start a rock and roll band, and some people find their homes, you know, in their families or in their friends or in their church, or, you know, we find our home in all sorts of places. And I think that, you know, I was just to sort of make a nod to my first album, Mercy. Mm-hmm. The title is, there are so many gospel tunes that talk about the idea of home, that their home over yonder. And so I thought, you know, I was listening to a lot of the Carter Family and Johnny Cash and Mahalia Jackson and the Staple Singers, and they all sing about that idea of, you know, when will we actually go to our home? Right. Our home is not in this world. And so the album cover, I took an image of myself. I drew a broken circle in the desert. So that is also a nod to, will the circle be unbroken?
Right.
So I kind of referenced a little bit of my gospel roots on this album. And I think gospel is a very hopeful message. You know, it's like, it's the good news, you know, that's what a lot of gospel songs are singing about. But then there are a few songs on this record that talk about loss, and, you know, that's just the way of life. We're gonna, you know, I started it with the idea of birth and new life. And then, of course, in this life that we have, we're all going to experience loss. So there's some of that on the record, too.
Yeah. I do want to come back to gospel in a little bit later in this interview. But right now, let's hear your performance of My Home Is Not In This World. It's Natalie Bergman on World Cafe.
live performance of the title track to Natalie Bergman's new album, My Home Is Not in This World. You heard her singing about trees, gardens, birds, the clouds. And after the break, Natalie talks about the woods she would explore growing up in the suburbs outside of Chicago. That is next on World Cafe.
Recently, federal funding for all public media was cut. Besides those federal cuts, KXE has also received cuts from the state of Minnesota for programming you love. We wanted to hear from listeners why they think it's important to show their support for KXE right now.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I'm a supporter of KXE, and we have lived in 50 Lakes area for about 3 years and loved the music and the news and all the northern radio shows, and it's become vitally important to us in the car and at home to get our news and music from KAXE. So that's why we feel it's important to keep you guys on the ears as long as you want to be on the air. So
make your donation now to help KAXE stay on the air. Go to our website, kaxe.org, and click the word donate.
Welcome back to World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. My guest today is Natalie Bergman. Her new album is called My Home Is Not in This World. It's a record largely inspired by nature, including the woods she grew up near in the suburbs of Chicago.
Could you describe for us, maybe paint the picture for us, of that woods that you lived near and where you would spend your time?
Well, there's so many old oak trees, you know, they're a couple hundred years old, and they bring so much wildlife to the surrounding area. So we have water. We kind of grew up with marshland surrounding us. So there's lots of kind of aquatic bird life, like blue herons and egrets. But then there's also, you know, lots of amphibian life. Like we have the blue spotted salamander, which is super cool, and they're beautiful. And leopard frogs and bullfrogs, and we have tree frogs. I mean, there's so much wildlife.
And you recorded some of this album, like in that area, in the woods where you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
How did that shape the sound of this record, being there?
Well, I started to record. We started in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I was kind of just in my house because I was full-time mother, you know, and so I started just doing songs while my son was taking naps, because you have to squeeze in your work when you can. But then we took a few trips out to Chicago, where my brother just built a new recording studio. And we've actually lost a lot of oak trees in the last few years. So he milled the wood. And so a lot of the studio is built with white oak.
So you like literally recorded the album in the woods.
We're in the woods, yeah. And we're using trees from our property. And, you know, it's nice to be able to sort of repurpose something so magnificent. And, you know, the trees are getting sick from oak wilt and, you know, global warming. And sometimes ants will carry fungus into the trees and makes them sick. But to be able to take a fallen tree and then build a studio out of it, I mean, I'm very impressed by my brother and his abilities as a woodworker.
Yeah, I had no idea he was also a woodworker. I know he co-produced the album and it was in your band, Wild Bell. I did not know he was also building things out of logs.
Most people don't, because he kind of escaped into the woods for the last 6 years. You know, it's like right after our dad died, we both recoiled and kind of went into our own our own places of, you know, grief and healing. And he found refuge in the woods. Mm.
My guest today, if you're just joining us, is Natalie Bergman on World Cafe. Let's keep talking about the production. When you're recording, you make an effort to avoid digital production, and you have a kind of a unique tape technique. Could you explain to us what that is?
The tape technique is I like to put two Ampex tape machines on top of a lot of the instruments and my voice included. Sometimes it can squash something, so it kind of gets compressed. Some people don't really like that sound, but for whatever reason, I that's what I am drawn to. So I use two tape machines on everything. But I do have a craving for analog sound, and I feel like it's gotten a little lost in the last 20 years. And so I want to sort of make a point of recording with, you know, with my hands and using things that that are instruments and tape. Tape is so beautiful. It's such a fun material, and it has a sound and a quality that is warm and a little dusty, and I like that.
Yeah, and there's a certain kind of commitment that comes with doing it on tape.
Oh, totally.
Like, you know, of course you can tape over something, but it's not as easy as like using Pro Tools and just right. deleting a file and doing it again.
You got to commit.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a good philosophy in life. You know, once you start something, you got to commit to it. You got to finish it. And I like this sort of the discipline of using
yeah.
tape.
Yeah. And then you also double your vocals. And that's something you've done for a really long time. Why is that an approach you like to take?
That's another just quality that I kind of like listening back to. Yeah. When I have the singular vocal, which on the song Gunslinger, which I love that recording, I doubled my voice on that. Then when I recorded it here today, and it's just a single me, I always feel like, wait a minute, where's the other me? but that's also special to be able to just strip something back a little bit.
And, sure.
But I like that technique. I feel like Elliot Smith did that a lot. And the Lejadu sisters, because there's two of them, a lot of the time they were singing in unison. And I love that. I love how that sounds.
Yeah.
You know, not even, I don't even need to harmonize. I just like the unison voice together. So,
like that extra dimension of
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, it honestly feels like it's surround sound, like you're running your voice through a Leslie speaker or something.
Yeah. We're going to hear your live performance of Gunslinger in a second, but I'm going to play a bit of the album version so folks who are listening can hear what we're talking about. So here's a bit of Gunslinger from Natalie Bergman.
My head was spinning with delight. He was a heartbreak in love with diamond eyes. Met in California in my friend's backyard. Then he took me to the stars. He had an eye for young women, like to shoot them down like a gunslinger.
So that's a bit of Gunslinger from the album. This is now Natalie Bergman performing the song live. It's Gunslinger on World Cafe.
Heartbreaking love with diamond eyes. Made in California.
traveling man with a story to tell. Go from city to city, collecting tales. He was a dream catcher, suitcase was filled with small treasures, lost in the desert for so long. I picked him up and I dusted him off. When another might have left him for dead. He had whiskey on his tongue, he was parsed by the sun. I never should have given him a chance.
Natalie Bergman live for World Cafe, a song called Gunslinger from her new album, My Home Is Not in This World. Natalie Bergman is my guest today. I'm Raina Duris. We talked earlier about gospel music, and gospel is a thread that runs through both of these both of this album and your last one, Mercy. There are influences, but this album isn't as overtly, I guess, religious as your last album, which had literal lyrics about Jesus and God and things like that. You talk about your faith a lot. What role does it play in your songwriting and creative life?
Well, I think my faith is kind of, it's unwavering. So it's there, you know, whether I'm writing music or I'm taking a walk or I'm singing a song, it's there no matter what. But I think it doesn't overtly need to be it doesn't need to be so literally spoken about on my records. I mean, I was very literal when I was writing Mercy because I felt like my faith was my greatest consolation. And on this album, I really am singing love songs. You know, I'm talking about ex-boyfriends. I'm talking about some gunslingers. I'm talking about losing a friend, you know, a relationship with one of my brothers. There's a lot going on. Singing about my son, my husband. It's a whole world of new stories. And I don't think I can, I don't think I would write another album like Mercy again because it was so specific to that time in my life and to losing my father. Also, like, quite frankly, I get a little freaked out by Christian music.
Really?
And I wouldn't want anybody to be freaked out by me. I mean, in this day and age, it's a little scary to be called a Christian when there are a bunch of Republicans running around using, you know, the Lord's name in the way that they do. It's crazy what our president has done. And he calls himself a Christian. And it's insane to me because he's the antithesis of what Christ stood for.
My guest, if you're just joining us, is Natalie Bergman. This is The World Cafe. We have one more song to hear you perform today. We're kind of taking a turn here, but it is a different theme that comes through on this album. There's a song that we heard you play a few minutes ago, Gunslinger. And then there's this next song, Stop, Please Don't Go, where there's references to cowboy boots. There are visual references to sort of like the West in the videos for this record. Why is that imagery that you were drawn to this time around?
I mean, that's sort of who I've been my entire life. Like every picture of myself when I'm a child, I'm wearing red cowgirl boots and I have two toads in my hand that I found in the pond or the creek down there.
It's
the
like hill. Your version of like having two pistols, just totally. Two toads, coming to the duel with two toads.
Two toads. I can't believe how many pictures I have. I'm like, how could I possibly have been carrying a frog around every day of my life? But I love them and I still do. But that song is actually an apology to myself that I never got from a boyfriend. So I wrote it from his perspective.
Stop, Please Don't Go.
Stop, Please Don't Go. So it's kind of the apology that I never got. And so the cowboy boots and the Wurlitzer, those are just sort of tokens that I left behind, you know? And he kind of had to keep my memory through those objects. The Wurlitzer, I had a beautiful Wurlitzer that I never got back.
Really?
I should probably call him after all these years.
Yeah. Well, let's hear it. This is Stop, Please Don't Go, Natalie Bergman, live for the World Cafe.
Your songs were spread across the floor. Oh, you left your cowboy boots and a letter on the Wurlitzer. Oh, the roses in the garden are dying. I miss you so much, but there's no use in crying. I was too proud to be, but now I'm too sad to give up. Such a good thing. Stop, please don't go. I wanna love you, stay here. Stop, please don't go. I'm begging on my knees for you, girl. Around the neighborhood in the dark, I had to send a search party. I found you weeping in the backyard, running around with other women, skinny dipping in the pool after dinner. I was too busy playing. If I could turn back the time, stay.
performing live for the World Cafe today, that was Natalie Bergman with Stop, Please Don't Go. It's a song from her latest album, My Home Is Not in This World. Natalie Bergman has been my guest today. It has been so nice talking to you. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard a session with Natalie Bergman, and you can watch that performance and interview, if you like, at worldcafe.org now. You can also find that session and lots of past sessions and performances at the World Cafe YouTube. There are tons and tons and tons there for you. Just go to youtube.com/worldcafe, hit subscribe there, and really, you could just press play on one of them and let them autoplay all day while you're going about your business. And I think it just adds a new dimension when you can see these artists and these conversations on top of hearing them. So again, that's youtube.com/worldcafe. This is Wilco. Love is everywhere. Beware. Thank you.
in your basement. Cause any one of us could make it big or could end up dead on the pavement. And if I was to die, if the plane went down and you survived. You ever wonder what your parents meant when they told you grandma's in heaven? Cause I don't feel it like I did back then in a black sedan of depression. And everyone's alright, I cannot afford to see the light. I don't know what's wrong with me. I killed the mood so naturally. The guests begin to make me feel alone. Same old song, we sing the same old song. We sing the same old, same sad song. In La Brea where the tar pit's black like a starving mouth for the innocent. You said the boulevard was not that bad and they jacked our van. In the broad daylight, they popped the trunk and left the keys behind. The cops pretend to care. I'll never see my mom's guitar again. I don't know what's wrong with me. I killed the mood so naturally. The guests begin to make me feel alone. The party.
Same old song from the Lumineers. This is World Cafe, and it has been the same song for 70 weeks. That's how long Hozier spent at the top of Billboard's Hot Rock Songs chart with your next song. One of the longest running number ones on that chart ever. Almost a year and a half. Finally got knocked down from its perch a couple of weeks ago, but it is officially Hozier's most successful song when it comes to chart numbers. This is Too Sweet, Hozier.
If you're drunk on life, babe, I think it's great. But why? She's Leaving You from MJ Lenderman. And this hour is leaving you quickly. It's almost the end of this hour of World Cafe. Thank you again to my guest, Natalie Bergman, and thank you to World Cafe producer Miguel Perez for his work on that session. Also, thank you to our affiliates all across the country who bring you this show, the public radio stations we cannot make this show without, including WTIP and Grand.